Good morning, everybody. I feel like I just saw you guys. I got a text message last night from Dustin Aguilar, and he says, "It feels like Christmas Eve," because this is our first time here. And he's right. In a lot of ways, there's just a lot, for those of us who have been laboring away in the gospel in a room that we'd meet in on Sunday with no air conditioning, and a bathroom situation that was less than desirable. Children, you could hear them when they went to the bathroom, or at least when they ran to it. And so there's much to celebrate with this move and God bringing us here. But I really want to look at the one reason why we're here today. And so turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 5. And what I'm going to do, it's what we usually do is we go verse by verse through a passage. Today, I'm just going to use this verse to sort of establish the plumb line for us. And then I'm going to talk about really what we are doing as a church. And so sort of a reminder for a lot of us. And if you're new, this is going to be a good way to get to understand of really what we're about and why we're here and what we're doing. So I'm going to start in verse 11 and just read to verse 14. "Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." We are here for one reason and for one reason only. It is to worship Jesus Christ as King. And we are here to show the city of Denton that Jesus Christ is worthy of worship. There's no other reason for a church to exist. And so how do we do this? We do this by doing three things: explaining, demonstrating and unleashing the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to walk through what that means. Explaining, demonstrating, and unleashing the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. We are a gospel community on mission. That is what a church is. A gospel community on mission. If you look at some of these signs, the entry sign says, "Loving God, loving each other, loving our city." If you look here, "Get involved, love God, love each other, love your city." These are different ways of saying the same thing, that we are here to be agents of reconciliation between God and man by explaining, demonstrating, and unleashing the gospel. We are here to be agents of reconciliation between God and man by loving and worshiping God, loving each other, and loving our city. Gospel, loving God. Community, loving each other. Mission, loving our city. We are a gospel community on mission. And when we do this effectively, Revelation 5, what I just read, happens. Jesus is exalted as the name that is above all names, and is the one that every single human being is longing for, whether they know it or not. When we do this effectively, Jesus is exalted. So let's walk through the three of these, and you'll see a little bit further what I mean. Jesus is exalted as we explain the gospel. See, the gospel is good news for broken people. And if you are not a broken person, then the gospel is not going to be good news to you. The foundation of our existence as a church is the unbelievable reality that God has done the work of reconciling us to himself. We did not do it. We had no desire to do it. It is all upon God's initiative. And so none of us deserves a place at God's table because all of us have rejected God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who knew no sin to be sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so God came to us as a suffering servant to die on our behalf. Jesus became everything that God despised. And he became everything that we were. He became sin. God hates sin. And Jesus became sin. See, we tend to think that God only hates like certain rules that are broken. No, God hates any worship that is not directed at him. And that is something that every human being is guilty of. He became sin. We became righteous. And so we who were unrighteous have been seen as righteous because the only righteous man to ever walk the earth was willing to be seen as unrighteous in our place. And this happened through the cross, where the scorn and the shame of sin was heaped upon the shoulders of an innocent man. And by innocent, I don't mean that he didn't break a couple of laws. That I mean from the heart, Jesus was a worshiper of God. Never sinned once. But he got the cross while the real criminals were set free. And this is good news because not one single human being in this room or in any other room or in the bedroom where people are still sleeping on Sunday morning can stand before the gaze of God. But this is also love. Romans 5. Verse 7, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There is no earthly equivalent to this. Not one human being would die for another person who hated them. Not one. This is good news. And so the gospel changes us as we explain it to each other, as we continue to meditate upon it time and time again. It changes us into joyful people because the cross redeems us from the death and the slavery of sin. We've been set free by Jesus Christ. What a great message for anybody. The Bible Belt needs to hear that again and again and again. Every human needs to hear that, but we've forgotten about it here. It also means that we're humble people. The cross, the very fact of the cross, means that you are so wicked and so sinful that God had to become a man and get nails driven through his hands and die. So if you could be proud after that, then you're not paying attention. Jesus says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. You know the image he probably has in mind there? Is Isaiah chapter 6. When Isaiah goes before the throne room of God and his response is, man, I'm doing pretty good. I guess God's pretty impressed with me. No. His response is, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. That we are poor in spirit because before a just and holy God, we know that we are not righteous. We are humble. We know that God has done everything. And this means that we are a worshiping people because the cross gives us access to the throne room of God. The throne room of God. That we have a place at God's table. That we have access to him. The innermost place. So that we can worship. We can have the relationship that we were designed for, but that we lost because of sin that entered into the world. And that worship problem is at the root of every sin that you've ever done and that's ever been done in this world, is that it's disordered worship, bottom line. And this makes Jesus look really wonderful. We're talking about our whole purpose here is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And we fight against the tide of human pride in keeping this message front and center. This is the message. This is not just the beginning of how you get into heaven. This is every single bit of the way is the gospel. The reconciling power of the cross of Jesus Christ. That is what we are about. We are a rock band that plays one song. It is the gospel. Over and over and over again. And we see all of life in light of the gospel and our transformation that Jesus has done for us. This must be the center of our life as a church and as individuals. And so we are here to explain this message to a culture that has been absolutely crushed by religion. And we have a lot of explaining to do. A lot of explaining to do. See, the shackles of religion deceive people into thinking that it is their own righteousness that makes them acceptable before God. And this is incipient in human nature, to rise up in pride and to tell God, we're not really that bad. And God says, you're bad enough that I had to send my son to die. And we are so unrighteous before God, so unacceptable, that we need the righteousness of another. And Jesus has gladly given it to us by his blood. So listen, we are praying boldly to grow as a church. We want more people to be a part of this church. But we are not trying to gather people just to be cool. We are not, the hook is not going to be how hip our band is and the fact that our worship leader wears a V-neck. That's not our hook. You get it? The hook is Jesus, the beauty of Jesus through his glorious gospel. And so, when we talk about why we're here, it is to explain the gospel to each other, and to explain the reconciliation to God through Jesus Christ to our city. Nothing else. It's not vote Republican. It's not don't drink beer. It's not do this. It's not do that. It's believe and you will be saved. And Jesus will transform you in the way he wants to transform you. And we will help each other and love each other enough to remind one another of the gospel, which brings me to my next point. From this foundational reality, the other two flow very naturally. But once you forget it, they don't flow at all. You forget the gospel, then you are not able to get to community and mission, which is what we're talking about. So Jesus is exalted as we demonstrate the gospel to one another. See, Jesus saved us not only so we could have a personal relationship with him, although we do, but so that we could demonstrate his love to one another as a people. God is creating a new humanity, not a new human. A new people to make himself known through this people. And the truth of the gospel was intended to be embodied by people in the midst of real, actual, daily interaction and relationships. It is only in the context of these relationships that the truth of the gospel can be displayed. And someone that is much brighter than me said it this way. Community is the soil in which the fruit of the Holy Spirit grows. So, the fruits of the Spirit, like patience, peace, kindness, you can't cultivate those without having somebody to upset you. Right? And if you're around a bunch of other sinners, then you will grow in the fruit of the Spirit because you will see just how impatient you are. You will see just how much you don't love Jesus. As much as you want to posture with your spirituality, you can do that when you're in your own little silo. When you go home and you never talk to anybody, you can do that and you can get away with it. And you can show up on Sunday morning and you can dress the dress, right? You can use all the evangelical Christian talk you want about struggling with this and struggling with that, but nobody's going to know your heart. But when you get in the context of relationships and the mess that ensues whenever sinners get together, guess what? Your righteousness that you like to put up here on a pedestal is smashed to the ground. It's a beautiful thing. Because it's only at that point that you repent. You understand, I'm in need. I'm not righteous. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior just as much as when I threw a stick in the camp, in the campfire, back at whatever camp it was when I became a Christian when I was 8. That I still need Jesus just as much today. The gospel never stops. See, people scoff at the gospel. Listen to me. People scoff at the gospel largely because they've never seen its grand claims lived out before them. See, they're used to hearing theological directives from Christians, but they have little basis for thinking that it's anything other than a philosophy that they can take or leave, because they just keep hearing a bunch of yapping and they never see people living it out with each other. And Jesus is exalted as we demonstrate this gospel to one another. And so demonstrating the gospel means being an intentional part of a community of people. And here's where I might start to rub you wrong a little bit. Being a part of this community means being in a parish, joining a small group is what we call them. We call them our parishes. Okay? They're communities on mission. And the parishes are fluid. And so it's not just one Bible study a week, but it's entering into a family relationship with other Christians and all the mess that that entails, even their schedules that may not be able to make it on a particular night of the week. Guess what? You go to them. You minister to them. You love them. Being in a parish, being a part of this community means doing things like signing up for the city. The city is where we do all of our communication. And this is going to sound very unspiritual because it's just the city, it's just computer stuff. No. It's how we communicate with each other. We just had somebody in our church send out, I'll say it, Tracy, send out an email needing help with her 2 twins. David works his butt off all week. Tracy's visually impaired. She needs help with the 2 babies. And so she sends out that request out on the city. And guess how many responses she got? Out of about 100 people on the city, she got 2. 2 responses. That's ridiculous. That's shameful. Listen, you can't be bothered to sign up for the city. You can't be bothered to check your email. And in the meanwhile, people are not being served. People are going without, their needs are not being met. That's shameful. Being a part of this community means regularly engaging people with encouraging words and spiritual songs and greeting one another with a spiritual kiss or a Christian side hug. Right? It means being there. It means being available. Where's Matt Price? Matt Price went and watched John Wayne movies with Mister. That's it. I mean, that's what it is. Like, Matt Price didn't have to go to seminary for that. You know what I mean? He loved him. And he went and he spent time with him. And did you take Rudy's over there? You should have. But yes, it is an inconvenience to check your mail. It is an inconvenience to not delete when you see something come from Christ Community Church of Denton. It is an inconvenience to call somebody to meet. Absolutely. But I cannot put this solemnly or strongly enough, however you want to look at it. If you do not want to be a part of this community, then go somewhere else. There are plenty of big churches that you can go and disappear into. Like, I'm not going to get paid more if you leave or if you stay. There are plenty of churches with plenty of seats where you can be an individual. See, we're not trying to build a cool church with a bunch of people who are too cool or too busy to be involved with other people. If you are hoping that I will leave you alone about this, you are dead wrong. I will keep hounding you until you either repent of your selfishness or you leave. That's it. Bottom line. And we've got other people that I've planted throughout this church that will do the same thing. It will not leave you alone. Listen, I have no interest in standing idly by while you make a mockery of Jesus and everything he died for just so that you can kind of keep your own life to yourself. I have to answer to God for that. Hebrews 13, check it. I have to answer to him. And so I'm going to hound you. And once again, we are praying boldly for God to bring new people to this church. And what we are not going to do is sell them a Christian version of the individualism that they're already steeped in. That's atheistic, nihilistic worldview that our culture promotes. And we're not going to keep selling that. So, welcome to Christ Community Church. Finally, Jesus is exalted as we unleash the gospel to our city. See, not only did Jesus save us to be a gospel community, but to be a gospel community on mission. God is interested in making his name famous where it is not. Where can God be seen today? In the church. Where do people go to meet God? To the church. Not to the building, but to the people who have the goods. The people who know the message. The people who can explain the message. The people who are going to take the message into places where it is not currently. See, the church is not a Sunday operation that calls people out of the darkness of the world to come and be a part of the light. The church is a 24/7 operation that unleashes the power and the truth of the gospel into the darkness. And as wonderful as Denton is, I love Denton. That's going to happen, by the way. That's how much I love Denton. Yeah, somebody start playing real quick. As wonderful as Denton is, listen, I was here whenever we had 817 as the area code. I was here, 76201 was our only zip code. I'm old school Denton, okay? But it is a broken city. How could it be otherwise? Everyone here in this city was made to know and worship God, and they don't. Most of them don't. So why would it not be broken? Of course it's broken. And this is where God has called us to engage. The result of the brokenness is a personal alienation from God and a cultural alienation from God. Because who makes up culture? Sinful human beings. Of course. And the gospel is to engage both. And so we preach the gospel to those who have never heard it or to those who have rejected it. But we also serve and love the parts of our city that are neglected, that where there is injustice. We are here to bring the light of Jesus Christ through the gospel to the darkness of this world. That is why Jesus died on the cross. Not so that we can be this awesome citadel and gather people to us. No, it's so that we could be missionaries, ambassadors of Jesus. In Uganda, I just came back from Uganda. The church we worked with is in one of the poorest parts of the country. I mean, it is in a slum. There's zero infrastructure. Trash is everywhere. And by trash, I mean what they ate. I mean, their human waste. I mean, everything you can imagine, they just have to throw it into the ditch. Right? And they throw so much of it that it gets gummed up and now water can't run. Right? You think it smells good? No. And this church is exalting Jesus by serving their community through cleanup efforts. Like, they're cleaning, they're getting their hands, and they're getting shovels, and they're cleaning up human feces from the side of the road. And it's not a bunch of white people who have kind of flown in to save the day. You understand what I'm saying? It is the poor people who live there are doing it. The poor people. The people who live in the slum and who have been changed by Jesus, and they just want to serve their neighbors. And when you ask one of these people, why are you doing it? Why are you doing this? You know what they say? To make Jesus famous. That's why. To make Jesus famous. These are African kids. They put us to shame. To make Jesus famous. And for the first time in that city, people understand the gospel in terms of love and not just words. And many people have been saved as a result. Because Africa is chock full of churches, just like the Bible Belt, who want to talk about Jesus and want to talk about getting saved all day long. But they will not get their hands messy with the community. And so I started thinking about our approach to doing mission in Denton. And this is going to hurt as well. The sad truth is that it has become an afterthought. We love our city sporadically at best. at best. And then I ask myself why. And I think it's this. We're trying to be missionaries and Americans at the same time. See, we want mission because it sounds good, right? We want it on our terms, right? We don't want mission to get in the way of our schedules, of our priorities. See, we see ourselves as people for whom Jesus died so that we can live more comfortable lives on our own schedules and according to our own priorities and not God's priorities. And so we see the Holy Spirit is this broker, if he exists at all in our understanding of God, he's a broker of personal experiences and emotions and not the divine person who indwells and empowers us to live supernatural lives. And the turnout for our parish missions has been unbelievably low because, to be honest, mission is just not that convenient. It's not. So we have other things we need to be at, and God's passions and desires simply take a back seat. And we get away with it because we live in a culture that says, as long as you believe the right things and check off the right things, then you're okay before God. R.C. Sproul said it best when he said, true belief is actually believing in the God you say you believe in. True belief is actually believing in the God you say you believe in. Living as if it were true. And just as I said with community, listen, if we're not interested in being on God's mission, then find another church. Why go to church at all? I mean, what a waste. There are funner things to do than get up early on Sunday morning. Well, not as early now because we meet at 10:30. But what, if you are not interested in being in God's mission, on God's mission, what are you doing? What's the purpose? We are not here to play church. We are here to be church as God defines it. And I'm not going to shut up about this either until you either repent or you go somewhere else. So we are here to exalt Jesus Christ, and if we're not on mission, then what does that say about the gospel that we proclaim? What does it say about it? I mean, we want to talk all day long about Jesus this, we've got the bumper stickers, but if we're not willing to go where the gospel is not, what does it say about the gospel that we proclaim? It doesn't say much. So, in conclusion, this is going to end on a good note, I promise. The loudest voice always wins. You hear me? The loudest voice always, always wins. And so we turn away from community and we refuse to engage in mission. Because there's something else that is kept in our hearts. Yeah. Oh, we're back. We turn away from community and we refuse to engage in mission because there's something else that has captured our hearts. And that something else is us. Listen, Satan doesn't work by getting us to carve pentagrams and sacrifice animals and practice black magic. That's not the way Satan works. Do you understand this? Like Satan doesn't get us to sacrifice children. That's not the way he works. He works by getting us distracted and onto a different mission than God's mission. It's a worship game. It is truly a worship game. We worship comfort and success and money and approval and anything that will allow us to maintain control over our own lives. See, if I can get really bent out of shape about approval, then I'm in control of my own destiny, and I don't have to trust God because all I have to do is do what it takes to get somebody to like me, to approve. Or I just have to work harder and have success so that I can have the other car or whatever my culture says that I need to have. See, we worship these things. And the answer is to go back to the beginning, to the loudest voice of all, a voice that shouts from the rooftops that says, God is great. But that does its deepest work in the quiet of the heart. The answer is to go back to the gospel, where the King of the universe has reconciled himself to us at great cost. At great cost. Listen, I can beat you over the head about community and mission all day long, right? And you might even say, hey, leave me alone. I'll do it, okay? Right? Because just shut up. Whatever you do, stop saying that. Yeah, or you can have your pride challenge and you can be like, no, I'm going to be hardcore. I'm going to be about mission. I'm going to be hardcore. I'm going to be about community. I'm going to join a group. I'm going to do this and that. But if the gospel is not at work, if there's not a louder voice speaking to your heart, if your heart is not captured by the beauty of Jesus Christ, because it's going to get hard, right? As soon as somebody comes, I mean, as soon as you run into me in the community, I'm bringing my 34 years of baggage with me that I'm trying to take to the cross of Jesus every single day, right? And so you're going to see something that's not pretty. Ask my wife. Ask the leadership team that I work with. It ain't pretty, but God is good, right? So go back to the gospel and let the stripes of the Savior heal you of your broken heart. Let the redemption of Christ become the loudest voice and be satisfied by the gospel, and that your deepest need that you could ever imagine has been met in Jesus Christ. And repent of these false gods and turn to the King. And it is that point that God's mission will become your mission. God's mission will become your mission. Because it is the love of God that enjoins him to pursue fallen sinners. It is God's loving nature. And at that very time, when you are loving somebody the way God does, it's the same love that you've been transformed by and enjoins us to love him and love each other and to love our city. You cannot be a missionary if you are not a worshiper of the Most High God. You cannot be in community if Jesus' glory is not more important than your own. Impossible. Because when you're truly satisfied, you are free to give your life away. And when you are truly satisfied, Jesus is exalted as the name that is above every name. And the people of Denton will see him as worthy of their utmost attention. Until we become a worshiping church, we'll never change. And the city of Denton will sniff it out. They're used to it. They know the talk. Most of the people that are in this city grew up in the church, and they rejected it. They know, they can sniff you coming a mile away if you're not authentic about your love for Jesus and you're playing Christian. So, this new building can be one of two things. A place where we can fit more bodies and make a name for ourselves. Right, as the new, hip, cool, young church with the worship leader that wears a V-neck, right, with the guy that plays the cajon, we got an accordion in our band. Like, that's cool, man. They don't have that at the other churches. They don't have that. We've got it. We've got granola hip Denton right here. Or we can be a place where we can fit, this building can be a place where we can fit more redeemed sinners who have seen the King, who have been crushed by his holiness, and have been risen and brought back to life with Jesus, the resurrected Christ, and they will see his greatness. So who's more impressive, us or Jesus, the King who reigns on high? So now we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate. We're going to spend the next 30, 45 minutes singing our hearts out to Jesus, to the King who became a man and died for us and saved us. And we're going to celebrate our reason for being here. We're going to celebrate our reason for moving, for going through all of this hard work. I mean, there are countless people in this room who have given countless hours. They're not being paid a lick to make all of this happen. Because Jesus is worth it. And we're going to sing to our Savior who has moved heaven and earth to be with us. And the only reason we can celebrate is that we have been made spotless by the blood of Christ. And so I appeal to you at this moment to understand your brokenness and to understand that Jesus has covered it all and has brought you back to life. And that is why you're celebrating. There's no other reason. You're not celebrating because you did whatever. And you're not disqualified for celebrating because you did whatever. Do you understand that His blood has made you righteous in His sight? And that is why we are here, to scream that from the rooftops here in Denton, Texas. I want you to imagine with me that the people of Denton, who have been beat up by religion, right, or who have rejected whatever they thought Christianity was, and they understand, they all of a sudden they learn, I had no idea that God loves me. I had no idea. I cannot begin to tell you how many times I have heard that. I have no idea that I didn't have to do this in order for God to be happy with me. Do you think people know the gospel here? They don't know it. And so they hold God away. They think they have no right to be. And they don't understand, of course you don't have a right to be in God's presence. But He has made it right through the glorious gospel. So let's sing in thanksgiving. Praise God. Lord Jesus, we are not worthy, yet You have crowned us as children. You have given us a place at the table, and it is a wonderful place because there is food everlasting. And we thank You for You. We don't thank You for anything else but for You. Let us be a church who has been transformed by this fact that You so loved the world that You gave Your only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have eternal life. And Lord, we know it's not just heaven that You're talking about. It's true life here and now. I pray that You'd be blessed by our offering of worship. I pray for anybody here whose heart is not believing in the gospel, Lord, that You would convict them. And I pray that this would be a church, the glory of God would spread through the gospel. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.